In Mathura, everyone is happy except for Kams Maharaj. He thought Vrindavan is like a Bermuda Triangle. No matter how many demons I send there, they never come back. All are going back to Godhead. Keshi, Agasur, Bakasur, Putana, Vijay, so many. Therefore, Kamsa was thinking Vrindavan is something special. Maybe it's the land of Vrindavan which gives Krishna and Balaram their power. Therefore, I can bring Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan, then I can finish them easily. This is true also to some extent, not about killing Krishna and Balaram, but really Vrindavan is worshipful. Aradyo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayat Taddama Vrindavan. Like Krishna is worshipful, like Krishna is sweet, then his Vrindavan is also as worshipful, also as sweet. Therefore, Vrindavan is the ultimate abode, the ultimate home. Vrindavanam Pavanam Tvameva. Vrindavanam Bhushanam Tvameva. Vrindavanam Sadayas Tvameva. Vrindavanam Ajivanam Tvameva. The devotee said, Vrindavan is my ornament. Vrindavan is my life. Vrindavan is my fame. Vrindavan is my only shelter. Therefore, something special is there in Vrindavan. Padamekam Nagachati. Vrindavan is so special that Vrindavanam Prityadam Prityaga Padamekam Nagachati. Vrindavan is so special that Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. That's the ultimate, like Krishna, the ultimate abode of Krishna. He never disappears from there, and Krishna's devotees never leave there also. Therefore, Kamsa knew if I can bring Krishna out of Vrindavan, then maybe I can kill him. Therefore, he made a plan. Some people ask, well, Vrindavan and Mathura, very close. How many miles? 10 miles maximum. 6 rupee ride on the train. 6 rupees, what's that? 12 cents. What, Krishna couldn't afford 12 cents to go to Vrindavan from Mathura? Vrindavan and Mathura are so close, and why Krishna spend 114 years outside of Vrindavan? 17 years Krishna stayed in Mathura. Why he never went back to Vrindavan? Many people think that means Krishna is very cruel. No. One of the reasons that Krishna left Vrindavan was because of his mercy on the devotees. At Prem Sarova, there is one pastime. One time, Srimati Radhika was on the lap of Krishna. Krishna's name is Madhusudan. Madhu means lust. By thinking of him, one's lust is destroyed, therefore his name is Madhusudan. Also, because he's always drinking the nectar from the Prem of the Brijbasis, the devotees, therefore his name is Madhusudan. Madhu means honey also. Therefore, Madhusudan is also a name for a bumblebee. One day when Radharani was on the lap of Krishna, one big Brahma, big bumblebee. Have you seen the big fat black ones? There the bumblebee mistaking Radharani's lotus face for a lotus. That bee came buzzing around. Srimati Radhika was afraid. Therefore, Krishna indicated to his eyes, to his Priyanama Saka Madhumangal, get rid of the bee. Madhumangal took a thin stick and began beating the bee and threw him outside. Madhumangal came back and said, yes, I have thrown Madhusudan far away. He will not come back. When Radharani heard that, Madhumangal was indicating, I have thrown the bee, the Madhusudan, far away. He will not return. But Radharani thought that Madhumangal had said, yes, I have thrown Madhusudan Krishna. I've thrown him far away. He will not return. And Radharani felt separation from Krishna despite being in the lap of Krishna. Separation and meeting. Astonishing thing. Only Radharani can do something like that. Being with Krishna. Despite being on the lap of Krishna, embraced by Krishna, she started to cry. Where is Krishna gone? Ha Nanda Kula Chandrama. Ha Krishna ha kula krishna kalankrita, ha mur, ha vada murli vada, ha nanda gopa kalankriti. She began weeping, oh, where is Krishna whose face is like a moon? Where is my Krishna who is decorated by the peacock feather? Where is Krishna who is the jewel of his family? Where is Krishna who plays the flute very deeply? Where has he gone? Kim karomi aham. Not seeing him, my heart is breaking. Radharani began to weep right in the presence of Krishna. Then Krishna began to think very deeply. Alas, she is with me, but she is not happy. Even the gopis meet with Krishna, they're always afraid soon he will go, our meeting will be broken. Therefore, even when they meet with Krishna, that fear of separation is there. Therefore, they're not completely satisfied. And this was the proof. Radharani is crying for me even though I am right here with her. Therefore, Krishna thought, my presence here, I cannot satisfy them. Therefore, let me go far away. If I go far away, then they can be satisfied by thinking of me. So, therefore, that is the main reason why Krishna left Vrindavan, for the happiness of the devotees in Vrindavan. Krishna was thinking, at least if I'm not there, then Radharani can think of me in separation. Sometimes Radharani embraces the black tamal tree. By embracing that black tamal tree, she thinks, now I've got an embrace of my beloved, my life is successful. At least that happiness I can give to her by leaving. Therefore, Krishna's leaving Vrindavan is not selfishness. Krishna's leaving Vrindavan is his affection for the devotees. Therefore, Kamsa, of course, was unaware of all of this. Kamsa was just an instrument. Kamsa was thinking, if I can bring Krishna and Balaram outside of Vrindavan, then I'll be able to finish them very easily. Therefore, he called one devotee. That devotee's name was Akrura. There are 9 processes of devotion, and Akrura achieved perfection by offering prayers to Krishna, Vandanam Bhakti. Therefore, how Akrura prayed and what he prayed for is very instructive to us. Kamsa called Akrura and said, listen, follow my order. You go to Vrindavan on this golden chariot and you bring Krishna and Balaram back here to Mathura. Kamsa had made a whole plan. There was a big wrestling match. Kamsa had arranged that Krishna and Balaram would be killed in the wrestling match. But man proposes and God disposes. Kamsa had his plan, Krishna had his plan. Therefore, Akrura, he was a great devotee of Krishna, but he was living with Kamsa, therefore he was remaining a little hidden. Therefore, what we pray for, we should be very careful. Krishna is like a chintamani, a kalpa briksha. There's a special tree. Whatever you wish for, it fulfills your desire. There was a king who was lost in the forest. He fell asleep underneath that tree. He didn't know it was a wish-fulfilling tree. He said, I'm very thirsty. Immediately a huge 4-gallon Pepsi Cola came there. Non-caffeine, of course. Then the king realized, I had a desire. This tree fulfilled my desire. It must be a wish-fulfilling tree. So the king brought out his shopping list. I'm very hungry. Immediately, read. Chapan bog. So many different items. He stuffed himself. He thought, of course, now I'm very tired. Radha Govinda Juki. The king thought, now I'm very tired. Immediately, a huge 4-poster bed came there, Mr. Crow. He took rest. But as he was lying on the silk pillows, he began thinking, oh no, I hope there's no tigers in this area. Immediately, rah! One tiger came. The king panicked. I hope he's got a full belly. I hope he doesn't eat me. The tiger leapt on him and took out his life. Therefore, whatever you think of, you get. Therefore, nama chintamani krishnas, chaitanya rasa vigraha, nitya puna sudamukta, abhinatva namino. Krishna's name is also like that. A wish-fulfilling jewel. Whatever you want, when you chant the holy name, you'll get it. Therefore, you better be careful what you think of. Otherwise, the holy name will cheat you by fulfilling your material desires. But the holy name will not give you prema. Therefore, Akrura, what he thought and what he prayed for is very, very instructive. Because Krishna is not very much anxious to give pure devotion. Because pure devotion, someone can capture him. Therefore, Krishna will easily give all type of material desire. But bhakti he will not give. Therefore, most people are cheated because they desire material things when they chant the holy name, when they come to the temple, when they worship the deities or the devotees. Therefore, we should not ask for material things because material things are the cause of all suffering. There was one lady, she was carrying firewood on her head. That firewood was very heavy. That she slipped and the firewood all fell on the ground. She cried, "Oh, Govinda!" And merely Krishna appeared before her, "What do you want?" Then she thought, "Can you help me put this firewood back on my head?" Therefore, most people are that. They come to the temple, they're suffering because of material attachment. And what do they ask for? A second course, please. Another spoon of material suffering. By praying for material things. Therefore, Prabhu kahi ama bhajan majai visai suk amrita chari visai pirbe ei baramurk. Krishna says, Prem, what does he say? One who worships me for material things is most foolish because he is giving up nectar and drinking poison. Therefore, from Akrura we can learn. Jasri, what are you looking at? From the prayers of Akrura we can learn what to think when we pray, what to pray for. Akrura, he was very much happy. Finally, Krishna had been 14 years, 7 months in Vrindavan, but Akrura had not got a chance to see him. He knew the Lord was there, he was only thinking of him. But he thought, finally today I get a chance to see the Supreme Lord face to face. There he got the new golden chariot, he was driving towards Vrindavan. What was he praying for? What was he thinking? We can hear the prayers of Akrura. Akrura was thinking, Kim maya charitam bhadram. What good things I must have done in this life or my previous life, I cannot understand. What severe meditation or austerities I must have done. What charity I must have given somewhere along the line that today I will see Krishna. Therefore, the fruit of austerity, the fruit of charity, the fruit of meditation is to see him, nothing else. But when a devotee has devotion, there must be humility. That much devotion someone has, that much they'll be humbled, not more and not less. Then we see a devotee strutting around, "I'm the incarnation of bhakti." They have so much pride, we can understand immediately, Haribol, this fellow has no devotion whatsoever, because he's proud. Krishna describes in the 10th canto, when a tree has many fruits, he bows down under the weight of the fruits. When someone has knowledge and devotion, he must be humble. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, if you want to chant the holy name, then Tranadupi Sunichena Torori Vasuhishana Amadin Amadin Akitanya Sadahari. If you want to chant the name, you'll have to give all respect to others. Not demand respect for yourself, more tolerant than a tree and more humble than a blade of grass. Because if you step on a blade of grass, one, it comes up again. If you step on a pure devotee, he doesn't come up again. He remains low. Because he's always considering everyone else has devotion except for me. Therefore, Srila Gaugama said, someone who has devotion means they'll make a list of every living entity in the universe and they will put themselves last. Of course, we are doing now artificially. But when real devotion comes, we will feel that I have nothing. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote that book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote there, I am lower than a worm in stool. If anyone chants my name, they'll lose all their good activities out of humility. Therefore, Akrura, as a pure devotee, he is saying, I am a materialistic person absorbed in sense gratification. I think it is very rare mercy that a materialistic person like me can get a chance to see Krishna. But enough of such thinking, because Krishna at the end of the day is an ocean of mercy. Therefore, I can also get the mercy. Sometimes in a stream, a river, a straw may be pushed against the bank of the river and be saved. In the same way, even a materialistic person like me can be pushed to the bank of the ocean of birth and death and meet the Lord. Today, all my sinful reactions will be destroyed. Today, my birth has become worthwhile because today I'll offer my obeisances to Krishna directly. I will see the feet of Krishna, which yogis can only think of. What yogis meditate on, I will see and touch directly. Akrura is so humble, he's thinking, actually, this is all the mercy of the wicked King Kamsa. Unless he sends me to Vrindavan, I get no chance to see Krishna. Therefore, in his mind, he's thanking Kamsa. Thank you, Maharaj. Today, Kamsa has given me great mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Krishna. Simply by seeing his toenails, many souls were liberated. And today I will cross the ocean, insurmountable ocean of material ignorance, by his darshan, by seeing him. Yad achitam brahma bhavadibir surahai. His lotus feet are worshipped even by Brahma and Shiva, as well as all the other demigods. Even the goddess of fortune serves him. And now those same lotus feet are walking in the forests of Vrindavan, and whose feet, those same feet, are covered by the kumkum from the bodies of the gopis. Therefore, today I will see Mukunda. Therefore, everything has a symptom. If there's a deer on your right side, that means you're going to have a very good day. No deers in LA. But if there was a deer in LA and you saw him on your right side, that means today will be a good day. Also, I'm feeling some quivering on the right side of my body, on the thigh, on the arm, my cheek, my eye. That means today will definitely be a good day. Some auspiciousness is there. If ladies feel some quivering in the left side of their body, that means it's going to be a good day for them. Devakura was thinking everything is very favorable. Deer is there. I'm feeling quivering. It's going to be good. I will see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, and who is by his own sweet will has now descended in this all-attractive human form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus, Krishna will know I'm not an enemy because he is the witness in the hearts of everyone. Even though I'm working and eating Kamsa's tortillas, he'll know I'm not a demon, I'm actually his friend and devotee. Therefore, as Akrura was walking, as he was going on the chariot, he was thinking, what will happen? Today I will certainly see Krishna, the soul of all souls, and the spiritual master of the three worlds. Seeing him brings happiness to everyone who sees him. He is a real jewel of the universe. The beauty is there in him. Now all the dawns of my life will be successful. Then he begins his prayers. When I see him, I will get off my chariot. I will bow down to the feet of Krishna and his brother Balaram. I will also offer my respects to all the residents of Vrindavan. When I have fallen at his feet, the Krishna who knows that I am surrendered to him, I pray that he will definitely pick me up and embrace me. His hands, his arms are most powerful. Bali achieved perfection by offering charity to those same hands, and those same hands, Krishna will catch my hands. Those same hands by which Krishna wiped the perspiration from the faces of the gopi as they danced, Krishna will hold, my hands will touch those same hands. He will smile at me and give me his merciful glance. All my doubts will be destroyed. Then he will say, my dear uncle, Akrura, my life will be successful. I hope then that Krishna's elder brother Balaram, he will also grasp my hands and embrace me. He will take me to his house and they will give me an official welcome. Thus, Akrura, as he was traveling towards Vrindavan, he was praying, I hope Krishna does this. I want Krishna to do that. Understand? As Krishna was driving towards Vrindavan, he saw the footprints of Krishna in the dust. As soon as he saw those footprints, tears poured from his eyes. All the hairs of his body stood on end. He rolled in the dust, crying, this is the dust from my master's feet. Those footprints are still there. Guru Maharaj one time said, when Akrura saw the footprints of Krishna in the stone, he felt ecstasy. His voice choked. He wept. He rolled on the ground. And when we see those same footprints, what do we think? I wonder who carved these. We cannot even feel ecstasy like Akrura. Guru Maharaj says we want to become gopis, but we cannot even become like Akrura. What's the chance? Should I discourage anyone anymore? Devakrura wept and felt ecstasy. One may ask, Krishna has 900,000 cows and he's leading and all the cows are following him. How his footprints are still there in the dust? Because all the cows respect Krishna so much, they don't walk on his footprints. Therefore, Krishna's footprints are preserved in the dust. Therefore, Kura came to Vrindavan and everything he prayed for happened. Akura saw Krishna Balaram overwhelmed with ecstasy. He fell at their feet, bowing down. He felt so much happiness, he could not even speak. Therefore, Krishna picked him up with his hands, embraced him, and gave him an affectionate smile, and asked, "My dear uncle, how are you?" Then Balaram also embraced him. Balaram took him inside to the house. They asked whether his trip had been comfortable, and Balaram offered him a first-class seat, bathed his feet, and gave him an official welcome, even gave him a gift of a brown cow. When Akura had eaten to his full satisfaction, isn't it, as a guest, Krishna served him as a guest, then they began the discussion. Everything that Akura desired on his trip to Vrindavan, he fulfilled. Therefore, Guru Maharaj says, when you chant, you have to have a goal. Before Akura was on the path to Vrindavan, and Akura had a fixed idea, what service I want to do for Krishna. What will be my relationship? What will happen when I get there? Therefore, we are also on the road to Vrindavan, on the road to Krishna. We may not have a golden chariot. In fact, this temple probably doesn't have any car at all. But we're on the road to Vrindavan, therefore what I should think and what I should pray as I practice every morning. Therefore, sadhana vibhivatake siddha deha tahapabhi. Whatever you think of at the time of practice, you will achieve that at the time of perfection. We have heard how Bharat Maharaj became a deer because he thought of a deer at the time of death. Therefore, Guru Maharaj says, if you think of the gopis at the time of death, what will happen to you? Why you won't become a gopi? There's no logic behind it. Of course you must achieve your destination. Therefore, we have to fix our goal. What's your name, sister?
Revati.
What's your goal of Krishna consciousness? Of which Lord? That means you want to become a gopi. Just spit it out, come on. Therefore, many people criticizing Gurudev. Oh, why he's speaking the pastimes of Krishna? Why he's speaking very high things? We are not qualified. Gurudev says, because unless you fix your goal, then you cannot practice. Right? Imagine you get to the airport. Or the railway station. Where do you want to go? I don't know, but I know when I'll get there. They'll call the psych. They'll put you in the mental bin. You have to have your goal. Otherwise, if you don't have your goal, you can't buy a ticket. Therefore, new people, I'm requesting you should examine all the religious processes and ask them, what's your goal? What's your goal? What's your goal? One of the Hare Krishnas will tell you your goal is to become a gopi. Become a maidservant of Radha Krishna. That's your goal. Therefore, we should hear the pastimes of Krishna, then we can fix an idea. Saraswati Thakur, when he came to Radhakund, he began speaking the very high. Well, these are the general pastimes of Krishna. He began speaking the very high Astakali Lila. He said, I know none of you are qualified, but at least you should have an idea that such a thing exists. Pastimes of Krishna. Lokavattu Lila Kaivalya Prayojanam, Nivedanta Sutra. It said, Vyasadev said, your goal, Mr. Gore, what's your goal? To enter the human-like pastimes of Krishna. You can get a tattoo there. One-way ticket, no return. They were just like a crew on the road to Vrindavan. Everything he prayed for, everything he thought was fulfilled when he got there. In the same way, when we hear, and when we chant in the morning, when we perform our Gayatris, everything we do has to have a goal in mind. Radha Govinda Juki Jai. There it's not a fact that we will practice and we will realize the result in the end. No, we have to know the result first. And then you can practice like a Kura. Therefore, Radha Krishna Pranamo Jugala Kisho. Give me a book. pastimes of Ras Lila. Then again, when they met on the bank of the Yamuna, they performed the Ras dance. That time, the beauty of the dancing was so much astonishing, Lord Shiva was watching. Lord Shiva is there in all the incarnations of Krishna. Krishna, Lord Shiva came in the form of Hanuman in the pastimes of Ram. But when Lord Shiva saw the dancing of Krishna and the gopis, Lord Shiva developed a greed. I also want to serve as a gopi. But how can Lord Shiva serve as a gopi? He's a male. And anyone who has a mood of a male cannot enter Vrindavan or Raslila. Therefore, Shiva prayed to Yogamaya, which we discussed in the beginning of the class. Yogamaya pushed Lord Shiva's head underneath Brahmakund. When he came out, he was a gopi. Therefore, he was also dancing in Raslila. Then some gopi said, "Tonight I am not feeling happy," Krishna said. "I think there must be some unqualified person here." The gopis searched and they found one new gopi, darkest complexion. The gopis asked, "What's your name?" Lord Shiva became confused. "What do I say? Mahadev? Tripurari?" He remained silent because Purnamasi had given him a spiritual form of a gopi, but the mood of a gopi was not there. His name, they asked, "What's your name?" He didn't have a spiritual name. "What's your husband's name?" Shiva couldn't answer. "Where do you live? Which village do you live?" No answer. The gopis realized this is the imposter. They began to beat Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was crying, "Bab, save me. Save me, save me." Krishna came, "Don't beat him. You don't understand, that's not a gopi, that's Lord Shiva. He is Harihara. He is so dear to me, he's like my own soul. Welcome back, crow. Don't run away again." Therefore, Lord Shiva, weeping, he fell at the feet of Radha and Krishna and prayed, "I thought I was qualified to serve as the gopis, but I am not qualified. Therefore, give me a benediction. I may stay outside of Ras Lila on the outskirts, and only by my permission anyone will come in." Therefore, the devotees, we also worship Lord Shiva, but we worship him in the mood of Guru, Gopeshwar Mahadev. Gopeshwar Mahadev ki jai. Lord Shiva dressed as a gopi. Therefore, anyone who wants the mercy of Krishna must get the mercy of Lord Shiva. Therefore, before our Vrindavan Parikram, the first thing we always do with Gurudev is go and we pay obeisances to Rangeshwar Mahadev. O Mahadev, you are the guardian of Vrindavan. Without your mercy, no one can enter. Vrikrediti brajubadivetam che vishnu shadanvito anushunayat atavaneyadva bhaktim param bhagavati patilubdhakama ridrogam asva apanoti acharina dhira. Sukadev Goswami gives blessing to the hearers of the Raslila. Anyone who hears with faith or describes with faith Krishna's activities with the gopis will definitely become free from the heart disease called lust, and he will achieve the pratilub bhakti param bhagavati. He will achieve pure bhakti in the mood of the gopis towards Krishna, and he will cross all obstacles. Therefore, those who advise us, we should hear Ras Lila from the correct source, not from someone like me, but what to do, the topic came up. Ras Lila ki jai. Therefore, by hearing of pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, one will realize the uselessness of so-called mundane relations with any woman in this world, and they'll become attracted to always thinking of that thing. Therefore, hearing Ras Lila is not a bad thing, but you have to hear from the correct person, like Sukadeva Goswami, or like spiritual master, like Guru Maharaj. By hearing, those persons have a pure conception of Ras Lila. There's no touch of mundanity in their thinking. By hearing Ras Lila from the correct source, and by chanting that also, one can become free from lust. One kirtan. Do I have to think of everything?